Chapter 18. That was Tom's great secret, the scheme to return home with his brother pirates and attend their own funerals. They had paddled over to the Missouri shore on a log at dusk on Saturday, landing 5 or 6 miles below the village. They had slept in the woods at the edge of the town till nearly daylight, and had then crept through back lanes and alleys and finished their sleep in the gallery of the church among a chaos of invalid benches. At breakfast Monday morning, Aunt Polly and Mary were very loving to Tom and very attentive to his wants. There was an unusual amount of talk. In the course of it, Aunt Polly said,
"Well, I don't say it wasn't a fine joke, Tom, to keep everybody suffering most a week so you boys had a good time. But it is a pity you could be so hard-hearted as to let me suffer so. If you could come over on a log to go to your funeral, you could have come over and give me a hint some way that you weren't dead, but only run off."
"Yes, you could have done that, Tom," said Mary, "and I believe you would, if you had thought of it."
"Would you, Tom?" said Aunt Polly, her face lighting wistfully. "Say now, would you, if you'd thought of it?"
I don't know. 'Twould have spoiled everything."
"Tom, I hoped you loved me that much," said Aunt Polly, with a grieved tone that discomforted the boy. "It would have been something if you'd cared enough to think of it, even if you didn't do it."
"Now, Annie, that ain't any harm," pleaded Mary. "It's only Tom's giddy way. He is always in such a rush that he never thinks of anything."
"More's a pity. Sid would have thought, and Sid would have come and done it, too. Tom, you'll look back some day when it's too late and wish you'd cared a little more for me when it would have cost you so little."
"Now, Annie, you know I do care for you," said Tom.
"I'd know it better if you acted more like it."
"I wish now I'd thought," said Tom, with a repentant tone. "But I dreamed about you anyway. That's something, ain't it?"
"It ain't much. A cat does that much. But it's better than nothing. What did you dream?"
"Why, Wednesday night I dreamt that you was sitting over there by the bed, and Sid was sitting by the wood box, and Mary next to him."
"Well, so we did. So we always do. I'm glad your dreams could take even that much trouble about us."
"And I dreamt that Joe Harper's mother was here."
"Why, she was here. Did you dream any more?"
"Oh, lots, but it's so dim now."
"Well, try to recollect, can't you?"
"Somehow it seems to me that the wind blowed
Try harder, Tom. The wind did blow something. Come."
Tom pressed his fingers on his forehead an anxious minute and then said,
"I've got it now. I've got it now. It blowed the candle."
"Mercy on us. Go on, Tom. Go on."
"And it seemed to me that you said, why, I believe that door..."
"Go on, Tom.
Just let me study a moment. Just a moment. Oh, yes. You said you believed the door was open."
"As I'm sitting here, I did. Didn't I, Mary? Go on."
And then, I won't be certain, but it seems like as if you made Sid go and...
Well, what did I make him do, Tom? What did I make him do?"
You made him shut it."
"Well, for the land's sake, I never heard the beat of that in all my days. Don't tell me there ain't anything in dreams anymore. Sereny Harper shall know of this before I'm an hour older. I'd like to see her get around this with her rubbish about superstition. Go on, Tom."
"Oh, it's all getting just as bright as day now. Next, you said I weren't bad, only mischievous and harum scarum, and not any more responsible than, I think it was a colt or something."
"And so it was. Well, goodness gracious, go on, Tom."